Hey everybody, this is Chris. Welcome to Renewing the Center. It is good to be with you here on the podcast. Thank you for joining us. We're going to be continuing today in the book of Job as we hold questions that God asks people in the Bible. Today, we're going to read four verses in Job 38, and there are two questions in these four verses. And we're going to pray and then just hold what it is that the Lord is asking us in this pretty provocative and dramatic portion of the Bible. Job 38, verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Father, I pray that you would help us to hold this question that you put to Job. I pray, God, that we would understand our lack of understanding today. I pray, God, that you would meet us in the suffering of life. I pray that you would meet us in our questioning of why we hurt from time to time. And I pray, God, that you would help us to understand what it is that is behind this question you asked Job. And I pray, God, that we'd be willing to hear it posed to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So there are two questions. Who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? I mean, that's a provocative question. Basically, God is saying, you do not know what you're talking about. You're using words. You do not have knowledge. And why are you asking me things that you don't understand? You don't know what you're saying. My mind goes to Peter with Jesus and James and John on the Mountain of Transfiguration, where the Lord was like, stop talking. You don't know what you're talking about. And then the next question the Lord asks is just as provocative. He says, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? But actually, there are lots more questions posed by God in this passage. By my count, and I could be off by a little bit, I believe God asked 26 questions in a row in chapter 38 alone. And then as chapter 39 commences, God continues to ask question after question after question to Job. And based on my understanding, all the questions, probably over 40 in a row, all of them add up to one thing. It's essentially one question. And that's what we're going to hold today. That's what we're going to reflect on. Job is a really old story. It's, I believe, the oldest written portion of our Bible. It plays out like a morality play. Job and Jonah are similar in some regards. They are almost meant to unfold like a play, where you're supposed to know something and hear something about your own life as you consider the words of this old, ancient part of our Bible. Most of us know something about this story. Job is synonymous with suffering and pain. His life has gone from riches to rags, and he doesn't understand why, and that's the question. Job is quite literally trying to understand what is happening to him. And in that sense, you may not be like Job. I mean, this guy like boils all over his body. His kids die. His livelihood is destroyed. I mean, it's a nightmare. But as we live our lives, we all wonder why on earth the things that are happening to us are happening to us. I mean, in that sense, Job is a very human story. It's about a person trying to understand why things are happening, specifically why bad things are happening. He's lost so much. By the time we get to Job 38, I mean, the story's almost over, and it does have a sort of happy ending. I don't know that the ending is, the ending is like life, you know. Even when redemption happens, we still remember the pain, you know, of what's happened before. We walk with a limp, as they say. This is nearly the end, and Job has lost everything except for a wife who encourages him to curse God and die. Not a great connection there. And three friends who are terrible. They speak untrue things about God in an effort to try to help Job understand that there's a reason that he needs to get to the bottom of about what he's done wrong in order to understand why life is hard. Job's friends are actually trying to shrink Job's pain down to cause and effect. And y'all, they're doing what humans do. They're trying to understand. And so often our desire to fix something or to solve a problem is really and truly a desire that we have to shrink down pain into something manageable. Job's friends basically want to help Job get to the bottom of what he did wrong in order to deserve. Why did he deserve the bad things that were happening to him? Because they're afraid of what's happened to Job. And I think, you know, we can like, I mean, the term Job's friend has become almost synonymous also with like crappy friends. But if we're honest, y'all, we get into these places with our family, with our friends. I mean, there have been so many times in my life where I've looked at something hard in someone else and I've tried to like shrink that down to cause and effect. I've tried to basically say, let me help you understand why what you did to get you in this place is something you can fix, because I just wanted to be able to shrink that thing down that was kind of freaking me out. I mean, that's what Job's friends are doing. And Job sort of takes the bait. He goes around and around and around and around. He's trying to understand why all this bad stuff is happening to him. He wants to get it because it's just like a human question. When life starts to fall apart, and maybe today you're listening to me and there are parts of your life that are kind of shaking and quaking and bursting at the seams. And we just sometimes want to know, like, why? And I just want to say it's not wrong to wonder why. But we have to liberate ourselves from the illusion that we can just figure out why cause and effect. We can sort of understand why God does, why life goes the way it goes, why God does the things that he does, why circumstances unfold the way that they are. Because our struggle sometimes to understand, to make sense of things, is really a struggle around control. We want to know. I think this, the book of Proverbs says that it's the glory of a king to search a matter out, and it's the glory of God to hide a matter or to seal it or to not disclose it. And so when Job begins to question God, when he begins to try to make God answer for why his life is so hard, God asks the question, where were you when I made the world? Why are you saying things that you don't understand? And actually, all the questions that God poses to Job in this sequence, the 26 or 40 or however many, they point to this same invitation. You and me, Job as well, we are small and finite, and it is impossible for us to truly understand why the things happen in our lives that happen in our lives. And some of us, myself for sure included, are prone to wearing ourselves out trying to make sense of everything. We want answers. We want predictability. We're tempted to put God on trial as we consider the questions of life. And the question God asks here over and over and over again is meant just simply to remind Job of his finitude, of his limited perspective. I don't even think they're shaming, because actually we'll read something at the very end of our podcast episode today that is God's response to Job. But they are designed to help Job recognize his limitations. Y'all, they're just certain answers that you're not going to have this side of eternity. And I don't even know if we'll get all the answers. I don't know. I'm the older I get, the less I believe God owes us a whole lot. And so there are things that we're just not going to know. We're made of fragile stuff. And sometimes it's really hard. I would say all the time, it's really hard to embrace those limitations that around our vulnerability. And y'all, while being made of fragile, finite stuff and vulnerable, while having limited perspective, while getting it wrong most of the time, we also matter a great deal to God. And one of the things that I think the Lord was trying to get Job to do was to accept and embrace his limits, to welcome his finitude, to acknowledge that his perspective is limited, and to leave things open in the hands of God. You may not know why things are happening in your life. And I know that in my own life, when I'm in trouble or when I'm experiencing difficulty, I get tunnel vision. My perspective narrows. It doesn't widen. It narrows. It's like the disciples in the boat when Jesus is it's either the story where Jesus is walking on the water. I think it is that one in John's gospel, and they just don't see him. And then when they do see him, they think he's a ghost because they're in a crisis. And when you're in a crisis, your perspective gets smaller and smaller and smaller. That's the human default. So what that means is when life is hard, our perspective is limited. It means we actually don't know why things happen to us. And some of us, maybe some of you listening to me today, you have you've blamed God for trouble in your life, and you've just checked out. And maybe you're just listening to this podcast trying to figure out whether you want to keep doing this or not. I believe one of the things the Lord would want you to consider is that you just may not know why. You may not have access to the answer of why. And so one of the things that I think the Lord is inviting us to do is to learn how to navigate life without having to always understand why. Because for me, at least, sometimes my desire to know why, to get everything figured out, is born out of a kind of insecure desire for control. And the truth of the matter is, there are certain mysteries when it comes to the hurts and the pains of life, why things go the way they go, why friends get sick, why relationships are hard, that we may never have full answers to. We may never really, really and truly understand. It's not always for us to know why. And so one of the invitations, I think, in this really enigmatic and strange passage of the Bible is just to accept our finitude and our limitations as we navigate our way through life. So I'm going to read something that happens at the very end. And this is Job. Job actually comes to this place of surrender. And he says this to the Lord. After all the questioning, after all the confusion, after all the desire to know and understand, he says this: I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, Job says this: I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Hear, and I will speak. I will question you, and you declare to me. I had heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now, that's a really ancient Semitic way of saying I'm accepting my smallness, my limitations, and I've overstepped my bounds. And Lord, I'm just asking you to make me a right-sized version of myself. And that's what God wants for us. I believe that the whole point of Job in many regards was to get Job to a right-sized understanding of himself. That the good things that happen weren't because he was awesome, and the bad things that happen aren't always because he was bad. There's a sense in which I believe the Lord is asking us to understand what it means to enter into the present and to accept our smallness and our limited perspective. And some of us, and I know this has been true for me, when I've had very limited perspective, that those have oftentimes corresponded to seasons in my life where I have talked the most. And I've verbally vomited. I have processed out loud. I've been overly dogmatic or hyperbolic in the way that I would say or assess things. And so for some of us, this is a great opportunity in accepting your limitations to go back and make some repair to the Lord. That's what Job was doing at the end, but also maybe to some of the people in your life. Maybe one of the most mature things that you can say when confronted with the stimulus of life, with challenges and problems and pain, is, I don't know. I think all of us actually should probably regularly work those three really powerful words into our vocabulary. I don't know. Why did that happen? I'm not sure. What is God trying to teach you? I don't know. I think for Job, the truest thing was when he got to the point of saying, I really don't know what's going on. I think at the end of the day, I'm sort of like a flea on the back of a horse galloping at 25 miles an hour. I feel a lot, but I don't really know what's going on most of the time. We have limited perspective. God does not have limited perspective. We are finite. God is infinite. The sooner and the more consistently we embrace that, I think the better our life situation will be, because we'll be present in the moment. And God finds us when we're present in the moment. God bless you. Go in peace. We'll see you soon.